It is great to get to worship God together. And that desire of our hearts to say we want the Holy Spirit to rest on us. We want Jesus to dwell with us. Jesus has that same desire as you. And when your desire and God's desire for you are the same, it's a very powerful place to be. Remember sitting down in Sunday school class downstairs. This was a few weeks ago. They started using tables again. This was back before the pandemic. This was 2 or 3 years ago. And the guy stood up, was pretty new, and answered one of the questions, and it was a really good answer. And we're honest enough, we're hopeful about it. Maybe these new guys got it. Maybe it's going to work out. And then the next thing he answered a few minutes later, it kind of made my heart sink, because the next question had something about obedience in it. And he said that he didn't like that word. He didn't like obedience. And his statement on it was, because I'm nobody's slave, is what this guy said. And I think when we hear obedience, sometimes we have this image in our mind of chains or of somebody forcing us to do something we don't want to do, being in a place of weakness. And that ultimately is how evil people get obedience, right? They try to chain people up, right? Jesus is not going to chain you up to get obedience from you. Jesus is never going to force you to do what he wants you to do in that sort of way. Jesus will let you get into some terrible situations and want to run back to him. He'll let you feel hungry or cold or whatever. But he himself is not going to chain you to him and say you have to stay with him. At any point in walking with him, he'll let you take a side door out and say, I don't want to be close to you. Jesus will let you put distance between him and you. So when you hear the word obedience, it's not about a chain on you, but the Bible does use phrases like being Christ's slave, choosing to be a slave to Jesus. And even though there might not be a metal chain, you know, back in the back part, maybe it goes out there and it's lost time, like, get your chain on, Jesus, suddenly, that's not going to be the end. The obedience that Jesus asked for, it means doing what you don't want to do. That does mean that is at the heart of obedience. And I love that our worship today focused on the grace of God. You know, the song Amazing Grace is written by a guy who was a slave trader for a long time and was this horrible person. And when he finally realized God's grace, that's part of where that end came from. Wherever you've been at in your life, that same grace is really available to you today. And that last song we're singing about, wanting nothing more than just have the Holy Spirit in us, that's available to us. But the obedience piece is how you make space for the Holy Spirit to stay with you. We've got some background music, guys. That's okay. I feel it. But it's what I'm trying to get at with this, what we're going to jump to our passage here in just a second, is that's what we're signing up for, Jesus. We're signing up for somebody who's willing to take us wherever we're at today, who actually knows all your bad secrets or whatever, who really knows it all, and he'll start with you today. But we're also signing up for somebody who is going to want us to obey him and not go our own way. And there's a lot of us who are on board for the first part. We want the grace. But John chapter 1 says that Jesus came with grace and truth. That Jesus does truly want to change you into a child of God, into somebody who's like him. So we're going to read a passage out of the book of James chapter 1, if you want to turn there. And Bryce, if you can help me out, get us to our first slide here. James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So here it says, don't just come across something that God has said and listen, but not put it into practice. And he says here that you'll deceive not the people around you, not God. He says you'll deceive yourself. So here's the scary thing that can happen when we sit in a church for a little while. So we can hear a lot of good things. And we can maybe even start to look good on the outside. And we can start to tell ourselves that we don't need to change in the ways that God wants us to change. Sometimes we even do that by doing some other good stuff. But we keep some room in our life locked up from Jesus. Do what it says. So verse 23. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. Let's go to this next verse. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So here's this idea that when you come to the Bible and you say, Jesus, please come and speak to me, Jesus will say things to you through the Bible. And he'll tell you that you need to live in a different place than you're living right now. Or he'll tell you that you need to forgive somebody you don't want to forgive. And you have a good reason why you don't need to. He'll tell you to pray for somebody. It's a total jerk that you hate and you enjoy it. He'll tell you when you feel super angry to go do something that you don't want to do, right? And he says, James says, if you see that, it's like somebody looks in the mirror and they actually forget what they look like. It's like that thing you just did doesn't help you at all. Listening to God's word and not putting it into practice doesn't help. You are not better for having simply listened. In fact, you're just more responsible than when you start. So the next verse says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. I'm going to slow us down. There's a lot of words there that we don't normally put together. We don't normally accept this together. One, it says look intently. Something I've noticed about not just maybe people, but everybody in general, is we don't look very intently at very much that's written. We all skip through stuff, we don't really read it, we don't see the details. How many conversations have you had with somebody where you realize like they didn't actually read the whole text? You know, it's only like this long or something, but they only read part of it. Or send a message to somebody and realize like that person didn't really look at what was written. They didn't see it very close. That's because so much information is put to us now that our brains are used to, like, we can't really focus on all of it and take it in. But when you come to something that's not a text from Jake, but that's something like the perfect law from God, saying you should look at this closely. And whether you pay attention to the text or whether you pay attention to the emails or whatever, when you're sitting with the Bible in front of you and you ask God to come and speak to you, then you should pay attention to what's there. Looking at 10 of these, silencing all the notifications on your phone if you're using your phone, or just set your phone aside, looking at just the Bible for a little bit. As best you can. Yesterday I started the Bible with Samuel Spoyer running around. I had to talk to them a little bit as I'm reading it. You know, little kids in your life, you may have to interact with them a little bit, but you can give good attention when you're reading. Why would you give good attention? It's because it's perfect. But then if you notice what it says, it says the law that gives freedom. Most of us, when we think about laws, we think about speed limits or tax laws or whatever else. We think about they're going to limit us, they're going to stop us, they're going to hinder us. But what James is saying is that the laws that God gives you are going to give you freedom. If you haven't experienced that, this is where faith comes in. Because sometimes doing the next right thing feels like anything but freedom, right? To not go where you want to go, or not to be around who you want to be around. But if you discipline yourself to do something God's told you to do, you probably have experienced some of that freedom already. Right? So it says, whoever looks intently at the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it. So that's an interesting thing I've been thinking about this week, is when if you read the Bible and Jesus tells you something through the Bible, and then you go and do it, you've never left God's Word. You're continuing in what Jesus has told you, because your life is now echoing the thing that Jesus said. Jesus told you something, and then you're doing that thing. You're still right in tune. The song is still playing. You haven't left Jesus, even if you've closed your Bible, because you're carrying out what He has told you to do. Not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it. How many days go by and you maybe do a devotional, or you listen to a sermon, or you see a Jesus calling or something, and you felt like this little, like, oh, that's a great insight. That's something God wants me to do. Most of us forget most of the things that we think that God has told us. It's a simple strategy of evil to just forget that good stuff that He's given us. A good way not to forget the thing that God's told you about is to do it. Like, if God tells you something today, but you can go wait till Thursday to do it, you're probably not going to do it at all. But if God tells you something this morning, and you do it before you turn on your car when you're leaving here, or you take at least a step in it before you even get off of Maywood parking lot, then you're probably not going to forget it, because you're already starting to do it. The next part of this verse, if you do all this, what happens? It says they will be blessed in what they do. So if we do the things that God tells us to do, there's this promise here that God's going to bless us in those actions. If you forgive the person that Jesus is telling you to forgive, if you stop that relationship that you know you need to stop, if you go and get around the people that Jesus is telling you to get around, then you're going to be blessed in that. If you talk to some of the folks that are coming on Wednesday night group, if they were totally honest with you, some of them that didn't want to come to Wednesday night when they first started coming, but someone had told them and they're following a program or something, so they showed up. But I bet if they showed up and they were honest with their group and they tried to do what the group was trying to do, I bet they'd been blessed in that. But they have friendships they didn't have before. But they have folks supporting them that didn't have support them before. Right? So I want to go to this next slide about this blessing. So I've got a sunrise picture, and these folks are running early in the morning. And here's, sometimes God gives us physical things on earth to show us about spiritual truths. And when I think about this idea of a law or a discipline giving freedom, I didn't tell Wayne, I was going to put him on the spot, so sorry, Coach Wayne, but I'm going to put Wayne on the spot. So, earlier this month, I think it was hot. It was really hot one day, but Coach Justin, Coach Daniel, Coach Wayne, and I all went out to some tennis court. It's like 95 degrees, and we played pickleball, which none of us but Daniel had played before. It's like ping pong and tennis mixed. I think Daniel played quite a bit. Daniel's the best of the four of us. None of us ever did. But Wayne is out there in like 95 degree heat, and we played for like 2 or more hours. I don't know how long we played. So something I constantly forget about Wayne, and I actually looked this up last night, is Wayne is 77, is that right? Sorry, just throw your age out there, Wayne. I assume it's okay. This is what life was like, what age were you? 40. 40. He's like, this is what life's like at 40. What's going to happen, you know? And so from 40 years old on, Wayne started to exercise. So Wayne, if you've been around Eagle Area a lot, you'll see Wayne on his bicycle or Wayne running. He has like a regimen of running and biking like different days of the week. So like, of the people I know that are in their 60s and 70s, Wayne is one of the most free people as far as what he's capable of physically, and just that it never slows Wayne down. When the rest of us who are in our 30s and 40s are like, yeah, let's go do this thing, Wayne's never said like, no, I can't do that. But most 77-year-olds I would be around would probably slow us down if I went to go play pickleball, and I could probably reset. Like, that's, what do you, why did you even ask that, Jacob? Why is that the plan? So, all that to say, we all look at, oh yeah, I want to go that way, right? But who's on a bicycle or who's running this week, right? Like, so, how does stuff can come up? I don't want to make everybody feel like, oh, you're 77 and you're not going to pick up, like, you failed in life, because that's not true. Everybody's given a different mind, different circumstances. But the truth is there with Wayne, that Wayne saw something at 40 that he didn't like, and so he made the law for himself, and now he has freedom because of submitting to that. Because he obeyed that law, he has freedom. You can see it crystal clear in Wayne on the outside, but Wayne told me a bigger decision he made about a daily discipline was that he chose to start reading the Bible every day, a little bit earlier in his life, but in his adult life. He said that spiritual framing has had the biggest impact on his whole life. And he said, but those two things really have had bigger impacts as far as like those two decisions of discipline have changed his life. Discipline looks so attractive on the back end, right? If we could have already all done it, if we could all be 77 and be healthy and spiritually fit, we all like the sound of that, right? But what James is giving us is the how do you do it? How do you make your place, your body, a place where the Holy Spirit can rest? Obedience to what Jesus tells you to do is how you put the Holy Spirit at rest inside of you. Ronnie Davis had this great illustration. I think maybe you got it from somebody else, but he mentioned, I think maybe Annie Moss actually, as we give you credit to. But Ronnie's day in Sunday school said, you know, sometimes we've got the Holy Spirit handcuffed to us and we're dragging him into dark places. Because God has bonded us with the Holy Spirit as we believe in him. We're obviously sometimes dragging him to places he doesn't want to go. But to put him to rest, if you do the next thing that Jesus tells you to do, the Holy Spirit's at rest with your inside condition. It's not that you're perfect, but today, you can be perfectly in tune with God's word for you. God's not going to give you 100 things to change about yourself today, even if you've got 1,000 problems. Jesus really is going to take you one step at a time to being perfect. I know that scares people, but like that's Jesus' ultimate plan for each of us, is to be perfect with him forever. He's going to take you one step at a time, but the steps that are easy, you probably aren't going to done. The steps that don't require any sacrifice or any glory or your pride or not doing it your way, you probably already got those ones going. So, my challenge for you guys this week is, what if you took the book of James, it's only 5 chapters, and you read James this week? I bet you would not have to be a very good reader to find some stuff to apply. James is chock full of a lot to apply. And in fact, if you're an overachiever and you want to get done with your homework early, I'm going to give you something to apply right from the very next verse. So go to the next verse. And baptism, folks, I know you're waiting on me, we're just going to be a couple more minutes if you can hear me. But since those who consider themselves religious, this is the very next verse, and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. That deceive themselves, that's the same phrase we heard earlier, right? When we don't do what God tells us to do, we deceive ourselves. All of us, I would imagine, certainly myself, when I see that, like I don't have to go any further in James to find something to apply, right?
right away, I found something. I talk too much. I was reading the Gospel of John this week, and Jesus constantly talks about, like, I only say the things that God has told me. And like, when I see that, I feel so much conviction. I talk so much about stuff that is not from God, right? I met with somebody one time, and they were trying to figure out what God wanted them to do. And they'd already made a promise to somebody, and they wanted to break that promise. And it was like, well, this is a verse in Proverbs 11 says, like, the integrity of the upright will guide them. Like, if you're looking for God's will in your life, probably wants you to have integrity. You know, unless you've promised to rob a bank or something, like, it probably wants you to do the thing you said you're going to do. I want to give you one more phrase to help you with this, though. Because some of us, we see this, we start thinking, like, oh, gosh, I can't do this. As soon as we start to see something that Jesus asks us to do, we think, oh, I'm going to mess up so much. So this next phrase, this is some encouragement maybe from George MacDonald, our last slide. It says, by obeying, one learns how to obey. You don't have to have it right yet. You don't have to know how to control your tongue to get it right. Because here's what's going to happen. My advice to that person who said they made a promise was, go and do the thing that you said you were going to do. And that'll teach you to not say you're going to do stuff. You know, like, if it's really terrible, and even if it has no other benefit, it'll help you not overcommit in the future. Because all the pain of overcommitting, when you actually follow through and obey, it'll teach you not to be so quick with your promises, right? When you actually forgive somebody else, it'll work things in your heart to make you a different person, right? And even if you fail 100 times this week, but you keep trying to obey, you will be better at obeying at the end of the week, right? This morning I was reading in Deuteronomy 32, and Moses was singing a song about God, and he described God as an eagle who was teaching his people, like baby birds, how to fly. You know, this idea, like, an eagle's made to fly, but I'm sure a baby eagle doesn't think it can fly, and it needs some help, right? You are meant to be like Jesus. You are meant to be in a perfect relationship with God. I want to close this out in prayer, and thank you guys for being here today. God, I thank you for Pearl. Thank you for Timothy. I thank you for Craig. Jesus, I pray that you would be their good shepherd, that you would watch over them. I thank you for the people you've put in each of their lives, God, that has helped guide them to you. Jesus, I pray as we go on from here, we would remember what you have told us. Help us to look intently at your perfect law and help us to continue in it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.